Well, it's a privilege to be able to gather again tonight in the house of the Lord. I sure appreciate you coming and being here. Thank the Lord for His grace and goodness that He's allowed us to come these days. And I've certainly enjoyed it, and I trust that God will continue to work and His will be done. As I said last night, you protect what God's given you here. And protect it. Protect it. It's one of the things that's keeping this country together. You better realize that. I was studying one day and I realized that, and I know God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah for the amount of wickedness. I know He destroyed them for the wickedness. But yet I was meditating on that, and Abraham was interceding for Lot in the city. And he said, God, if we can find 50 righteous, would you spare it? And God said, I'll spare it for 50. He came all the way down to 10. He said, God, if we can find 10 righteous, would you spare the whole city? God said, I'll spare it if you can find me 10 righteous. Couldn't find 10 righteous. The thing about it is that God really didn't destroy Sodom and Gomorrah for the amount of wickedness. He destroyed them for the lack of righteousness. If they could have found 10 righteous, it would have offset all of the destruction of Sodom. Now you think about that. What keeps pushing me on is that there'll be a handful of righteous that'll continue to seek the face of God, because we're as bad as Sodom and Gomorrah were. And we deserve the judgment of God. But I'm glad for enough righteous that'll keep the judging hand of God away. One of these days, all the righteous is going to go home, and that's when judgment is going to be turned loose. And certainly that is right. Well, that's not the message, but it is a good thought. You think about that. I want us to open the Bibles tonight to John chapter 11. Very familiar portion of the Word of God. John chapter number 11. Let's read beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says, now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. Now, I don't really believe that Mary and Martha owned Bethany, but it says it's their town. And I think the reason it is that they belong to the Lord and He owns everything. So it was their town. Verse number 2 said, and it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped His feet with her hair. I was amazed, that's in parentheses. And that doesn't happen until chapter 12. And the Holy Ghost knew that was going to happen. So He put it here. Whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Now, just because you're loved of God doesn't exempt you from the difficulties of life. Verse 4 said, when Jesus heard that, He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Notice verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Now we find in verse 3, that whoever the runner was that came to the Lord said, you've told them that you love them. He whom thou lovest is sick. But then verse 5, the Holy Ghost lets us know that Jesus did love that little family down in Bethany. Verse number 6 said, when he had heard therefore that he was sick, notice this phrase, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. I'll leave off reading there. I want to preach just from this chapter tonight on this episode that only John mentions. I'm amazed at that. To me, I think the raising of Lazarus is the greatest miracle the Lord ever performed. Somebody said, well, he raised others that was dead. Well, they wasn't as dead as Lazarus. He raised Jairus' daughter. She was still on the bed. He raised the widow Nain's son. He was on his way to the cemetery. But Lazarus has been in the grave 4 days. He's stinking dead, and the Lord got him up. And John's the only one that mentions it. I'm amazed at that. But we find here that the Bible said that Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. But when he received the news that the one that he loved was sick, he didn't rush to the rescue. He abode 2 days still. That word still means he's unmovable. He abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. I'm going to preach tonight. Boy, God's really burdened my heart with this. On this thought, when love runs late. Let's ask God to help us. Father, thank you for the great privilege that you've given us together tonight. And to this pavilion. Thank you, Lord, for how that you've blessed and worked and moved. I thank you, Lord, for the privilege of knowing your Savior. Thank you, Lord, for these who have congregated together. I pray now that your divine will would be accomplished. I pray that you could get us to that distance you want to carry us to tonight. And I pray that every height would be fixed, that they would be ministered to by the Holy Ghost. I pray you would arrange the atmosphere of the service as you would so design. And Lord, if there are those here unsaved, that you'd bring them unto the acknowledgement of yourself. But Lord, the real burden of my heart tonight is for those who are waiting on your help, and it seems that they've been waiting. I pray that you would give them enlightenment, encouragement tonight, that you punch no time clocks. You're always on time, and you'll do it in your time. I pray your will be done, and we'll thank you for what you do. For it's in Jesus' wonderful and precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now I want to say, on the outset of the message tonight, that Mary and Martha did not go themselves to seek the Lord in behalf of their brother. Matter of fact, we do not know who the unnamed runner was, but we do know that he certainly is a type and picture of the Holy Ghost. I'm glad that when seemingly I can't get through, I'm glad that he can. Amen. And something else, when it seems like that I need to get in touch with him and I'm having difficulties doing so, I'm glad there's others that I know that knows where he is. I'm glad that the runner here, whom Mary and Martha sent to beseech the Lord to come, I'm glad he knew where to find Jesus. That lets me know he'd been in contact with somebody and he knew where he was. I want to say you need to stay in contact, because you'll never know who will call on you to go seeking his face in their behalf. I thought about here, as Lazarus is laying sick, Mary and Martha have sent this runner to find the Lord. And they said to him, when you approach him, said you be sure and remind him
that we are the family that He loves. Said, you be sure and tell Him, Lord, he whom Thou lovest is sick. Because Mary and Martha knows that love is the greatest attribute. And they know that if anything is going to bring the Lord to where Lazarus is, it's going to be His love for them. Amen. And they said, be sure and let Him know that He's told us time and again that He loves us. And He did love them. Hallelujah. I want you to know, friend, there's something else that God operates in, and that's the glory of God. Jesus abode. He let His love be restrained so that the glory of God could be revealed and God could be manifested and magnified. Now, I see here that Martha and Mary is waiting on Him to get there. Jesus is dying. I mean, Lazarus is dying. And I see that runner, whoever he is, Brother Scott. I see that runner as he hangs around an extra day. And he says, Lord, please. I don't want to have to go back and tell them you're not coming. Please, would you come? We don't find Jesus responding to him at all. Now, I dare say that after the next day, that fella goes back to Bethany. And Mary and Martha say, well, where is he? Did you not find him? Yes, I found him. Did you not tell him? Yes, I told him. Did you not remind him that he loves us? I told him that he loved you and reminded him that you had told them. Well, where is he? I just couldn't get him to come. I just couldn't get him to come. I want to tell you, there's a lot of people of God today. They're begging God for help in areas, and it seems like that he's not showing up. Let me say to you, it's not because he doesn't love you. Amen. I'm telling you, there's a greater love that he has for us, and that love surpasses everything else. But just because he doesn't respond immediately to us doesn't interfere with his love for us. Now, we're going to make our way to Bethany and a little beyond tonight. Over here is where Jesus is, beyond Jordan. You'll find that in the end of chapter 10. Jesus is over here. Right here's Bethany. And over here is the sepulcher where Lazarus is laying. We need to get Jesus from over there to over here. Do you not agree that we need life to come to our deadness? Amen. And we need to get him from where he is to where we need him. As I begin to study and meditate upon this text, I find that as Jesus is there and we need him here, there's three times that he is delayed. There's three things that stop him. I want to say, friend, that as we go through this tonight, the Holy Ghost may let you know this could be one of the reasons why he hasn't responded to our need. But I want to say, let me remind you on the outset, he does love us. Hallelujah. We belong to him. He gave his life for us. He does love us. Now, notice if you will that the first delay was caused by the Savior himself. Matter of fact, he on purpose intentionally delayed. Well, why did he delay, preacher? Well, he wanted to make sure Lazarus was dead before he got there. You see, if he's dead, then when he does get him up, there's going to be glory to God. Amen. He delayed first to show forth the glory of God. Can I say this to you? God's normally not going to respond until He knows He's going to get the glory for it. We need to understand why it is that we're asking what we're asking. Is it for our glory, or is it to bring glory to Him? I tell you, when we get to what we're requesting of Him, we'll bring glory to Him, then He will respond in that situation. But as long as glory is not going to be His, He'll never show up. So He delayed to show forth the glory of God. Praise God. Let's just suppose that Jesus got to Bethany before Lazarus died. I'm sure Mary and Martha did not let Him lay there and die without some kind of medical attention. Well, I'd say that lady with the issue of blood, those same doctors that she saw may have came to visit Lazarus. Maybe they had diagnosed his problem. But you know what? If Jesus had I've gotten to Bethany before Lazarus died, you know what the people would have said? Boy, isn't it amazing that the doctors and what they prescribed and the medicines that they prescribed, isn't it amazing that that medicine kicked in just about the time Jesus got here? And Jesus would have not gotten any glory, because humanity has got this undying ability to give everybody glory but God. Hey, and I'm telling you, God is not going to respond as long as somebody else is getting the glory. But He'll let the situation get to where they can't nobody fix it but Him. And when He fixes it, glory is given to God. God's interested in His glory. He delayed to show forth the glory of God. He delayed to share the truth of God. In other words, when He got there and He begins to tell Martha that He's the resurrection, if Lazarus had just been sick, that wouldn't have meant much. But since he is dead, all of a sudden the truth is more precious. A lot of times the truth just becomes the old, old story. But all of a sudden, when our situation gets bad and God allows it to get that way, all of a sudden, just a little word in a dark, dark place, we'll begin to praise God and say hallelujah. I tell you, God may let it get deader than what it is until we appreciate the truth again. But once we begin to appreciate and long and thirst after that truth, then God will show up. Amen. Is that not correct? I see that He delayed to show forth the glory of God. He delayed on purpose to share the truth of God. He delayed on purpose to strengthen their faith in God. He let the situation get bad out of their hands, and yet He shows up to strengthen their faith. You know why He did that? Because the next time they hit a little bump in the road, they won't be so apt to grumble and complain. He let this situation get real bad, and the next situations can't be as bad. I'm telling you, friend, God will allow it to happen to strengthen our faith in Him. I don't know what you may be praying about. This is what God put on my heart. I don't know what you may be longing and asking for, and you're needing it, but it hasn't happened yet. Then make sure God's going to get the glory for it. I talked to a lady once, and she begged me, "Preacher, please pray for my husband." And I don't know why I ask her this. I've never asked it. But I said, "Why do you want me to pray for your husband?" She said, "So he'll quit beating me." I said, you want him to get saved so he'll quit beating you. She said, yes, preacher. I said, well, where's the glory of God involved in this? She looked at me stunned. She said, I never thought of it. I said, start praying that he'll get saved, not to keep from beating you, but that God would get the glory for it. 1 year later, the old boy got in. I'm just simply saying, it does matter in what frame of mind and the reason that we're asking what we're asking. He delayed to seal the power of God. He made sure Lazarus was dead so that when he got there, God was the only one could get him up. He delayed to silence the accusers of God. Matter of fact, you study the book of Job. Boy, I enjoyed old Brother Luther's message the other night. But you study the book of Job, you'll find that there is a character. In chapter 2, he's just chapter 1 and 2, running that mouth. And so God let Job go through that trial. Guess what? Job is 40 chapters long, or 42 chapters long, and you hear a lot of other fellas are saying a lot of other things, but you don't hear the devil saying nothing else. You know why? Because God allowed it to get where it got just to shut the devil's mouth. I'm telling you, friend, sometimes God allows our situation to get dire bad, and then he'll move in it just to shut the devil up. So now, the first delay was caused by the Savior. But then, verse number 7 said, then after that, saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. Now he's over his delay. He's not delaying anymore. I want you to hang with me here. I see him now. That after 2 days, he begins to make his way toward Mary and Martha's problem. He's got them in mind the whole time. Could I tell you, he had them in mind when he wasn't doing nothing. Somebody said he wasn't doing nothing. Oh, he was doing a lot when he wasn't doing nothing. And I see him as he's headed toward Bethany. Now here's Bethany. Notice with me, please. He's gotten to Bethany. Bible says in verse 20, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. Somebody runs in the house. You got to remember, they've done put Lazarus in the grave 4 days ago. Now Jesus happens to show up. And somebody comes in the house now and says, Jesus is here. Martha gets up. Now stay with me here, please. Martha gets up and she goes out to meet him. But what does that last phrase say in verse 20? But Mary sat still in the house. That word still is the same still where Jesus abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Verse 20 said, and Mary sat still in the house. You know what she's saying? Well, he wouldn't move when I needed him to, so I'm not going to move. So Martha gets up to go meet Jesus. Has a conversation with him. But Mary's sitting in the house. Why is she in the house? She's mad at Jesus. Now, this is going to dig real deep right here. But she's mad at the Lord. Look at all that they've done for him. Fixed for him. They fellowship with him. They received him when everybody else was rejecting him. Now when they need him the most, he doesn't show. And Mary is now angry with the Lord because he didn't respond when she thought he should. And knowing that he could, but didn't. And Mary is angry. You would never put it in the vehicle of words. I'm mad at Jesus. You would never say that vocally. But down in the recesses of your soul, there's been situations that's happened. And God, being the God that He is, could have fixed it. And you begged Him to, but He didn't. And now the situation's not fixed. You'd never voice it. But down in your heart, you're just a little bit miffed at the Lord. Because He didn't respond when you needed Him to. Notice this. The first delay was caused by the Savior. The second delay was caused by the sister. Well, how do you know that he delayed? Well, verse 20, Martha comes to him. Look at verse 30. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that the whole time Jesus and Martha are having that conversation, he's not moving toward Lazarus. And he didn't move toward Lazarus until Mary got right. And if Mary had stayed mad, Lazarus would have never got up. Somebody said, well, it don't really matter how I feel and how I react. Oh, yes, it does. Here, I see now, and I'll not deal with what Martha and Jesus talk about. It's real good what they talked about. Jesus said, I'm the resurrection. She said, I know he'll get up at the last day. She said, if you'll believe now, he can get up now. But Mary didn't hear that. She's mad at Jesus. Sitting in the house. Son, listen. I don't know much, but I know when the Holy Ghost is digging. And she's angry with Jesus. Lord, have mercy. How could we ever get upset with him? Look what he's done for us. Look where he's brought us from. Look where we're going to. How could we ever get mad at him? But yet, sometimes we do. I see now, the scripture doesn't say here, when Jesus asked Martha, where's Mary? After they finished, I believe Jesus said, Martha, why didn't Mary come with you? And Martha says, well, Lord, I tried to get her to come out, but we did send for you in plenty of time to get here. That runner came back and told us that you didn't budge when he told you. And Mary now is upset because you didn't show up. Now, I tried to get her to come. She told me to go ahead. She just wasn't in the mood right now. And Lord, I really think she's mad at you. I really think she's upset with you. Because the Bible said in verse 28, and when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, the master is come and calleth for thee. Martha goes in and she finds Mary. She doesn't broadcast it aloud in the house. There's a whole house full of mourners there. She goes and she calls Mary secretly. Mary, I know I tried to get you to go with me before and you wouldn't. But Jesus is out there. I really think after what he's told me, there's something good in store. But I don't think he's going to move, Mary, till you come out. Because he told me to come find you and tell you that he needs to see you. Oh, ma'am, sir, the Lord's a-calling for you. He's a-calling for you. He's needing to do business with you. He wants to move in your situation, but he can't as long as you're angry with him. He can't. I remember preaching along these lines. This has been, my Lord, 17 years ago or longer. And I was up near Pittsboro, North Carolina. I was up there and I began on homecoming Sunday. My house was packed. And I was preaching along the lines about Mary being mad at the Lord. There was a lady sitting way back yonder on the back, in the back corner. I got to dealing with her, with Mary being mad at God. And boy, she jumped up and she started screaming as she ran down that altar. Ran down the aisle into the altar. And she was screaming loud because when you scream louder than me, you're doing some screaming. And everybody was focused on her and it scared me. I've seen folk get up and walk out, but I've never seen them get up and run like that. She ran to the altar. I just backed up. I just stopped. It seemed like it was 3 or 4 minutes maybe. And the pastor went and knelt with her. And there's a number of ladies. I wasn't done preaching. I didn't think I was. There were several ladies gathered around her and began to pray with her. She calmed down after a while. Went back to her seat. That time I went through Friday night. I Sunday through Friday. And I remember God blessed that week. Had a number of souls saved. And people were stirred. And pastor talked to me about even going on. But we decided that I'd rather stop it on top as to go any further. And on Friday night, I'd already put my top coat on. It was kind of cool. And I'd walked out of the pulpit and was standing right there. The pastor got up and he said, "Is there a word before we dismiss?" And that lady stood up. She hadn't said a thing all week. That lady stood up. She said, "Church, I've got to apologize to you." She said, "God," and here's what she said, "God sent that Tennessean up here." And God ripped the cover off of my heart and let me see me like he sees me. And he said, she said, "I didn't know it, but said I'd been mad at the Lord." And she said, "You all know my boy Jimmy. Well, they always are doing this. I didn't know Jimmy, but they was all doing this." And she said, "You know how wicked he is," and they got to doing it that much more. And she said, "You know how that he uses drugs and deals in drugs and how you've taught your kids to stay away from him," and they're doing this. And she said, "I've been faithful to church," and they was doing this. And she pointed over here to a lady. There was a nice looking young lady standing beside her mother. And she said, "I remember." She said, "I remember, ma'am." She called her my name. She said, "I remember when your daughter was gone. And the church began to pray. And God brought her home. And God saved her." And they all began to say amen. And I could tell it was kind of arising a little. And they began to say amen. And she said, "When that happened," she said, "I got a little angry at the Lord." She said, my boy, I love him too. And said, I want to see him saved. I don't want him to go to hell. She said, I prayed for your daughter. But she said, when she got right, now she's been honest, she said, I got just a little bit upset. I got a little miffed at you, got a little jealous. I got a little mad at God. And she said, I didn't realize it, but I was getting colder and colder and colder and colder. But she said, Sunday morning, she said, I went up there and she said, God, she said, I don't ever want to be mad at you again. Said, if Jimmy don't ever get saved, I don't want to be mad at you anymore. And she said, I asked God to forgive me. And by that time, the power of God had fallen and people was a-shouting and a-praising God. And she said, I don't ever want to be mad at God again. Well, me and my family left out, went to Florida, was gone 2 weeks before I had cell phone. I came home. It was about, I don't know how many messages on my answering machine, but the last one was that pastor in Pittsburgh. Brother Eddie, when you get home, call me. So it was 4 a.m. and I didn't call him. I waited till about 8 and I dialed him up and he answered the phone. Hey, preacher. I said, you left a message, want me to call? He said, yes. He said, that was on Monday morning when I got in and this had happened last night. He said, yesterday evening, he said, you remember the lady that was mad at God? That's what he said. I said, yeah, I sure do. He said, I was about half through my message tonight. And he said, guess who came through busting through the back door? I said, was it Jimmy? He said, it was Jimmy. And said, Jimmy came and got plumb under the communion table. And said, I'm telling you, God saved him by his grace. He said, you know what happened? I said, yeah. I said, Mary got her heart right with God. And God went to the cemetery and got her boy up. Hallelujah. I'm trying to say to you, friend, we got a great big God that's interested in answering our prayers. If we just won't be mad at him. Hey! I'm telling you, we can't. How can we be mad at him? I talked to him not long back. He'd already left. I said, you ever touch base up? He said, yeah. I said, Jimmy's a deacon. I'm not without anything to say. I'm just, woo. I'm trying to say, we got some things that we need God to do in our lives. We're begging God. Maybe it's a child that's gone bad. Maybe it's a grandchild. I don't know. Maybe it's a husband or a wife. I don't know. And God could have fixed it, but he didn't fix it. It got bad. But I'm telling you, friend, God may not fix the storm, but he can sure fix you. And he can sure fix me. We got a God that can steal the storm in our soul. But I believe if we can get where he needs to be and where we need to be, God can move to our deadness and resurrect it. Hey, we got a big God. He can do anything, but he won't work as long as we're mad at him. I'm telling you. See, Jesus has got Lazarus in mind all the time. But Mary's got to get right. He's in the same place where he was when Martha met him. When Martha came to him, he hadn't moved a step. He's standing right there. God may be standing at the city limits of your Bethany. He may be right at the city limits of Bethany, and he's wanting to go over here to your deadness, to your problem, to your situation. But you've got him delayed. You've got him stopped because you're blaming him for what happened. Oh, sir, you were up for promotion. You come to church, you pay your tithes, you give offerings. It was your next time to be promoted. And some fella that doesn't even go to church got that promotion and that raise that you needed desperately. Now, you had prayed for it and you thought it was in hand. And right when you thought it was, somebody else snatched it away. Now in your heart, you're withholding because you're angry with the Lord. And you're saying, Lord, you know I needed that. You know I needed it. And you didn't get it. Now God's to blame. And you're needing help again. Could I remind you, you've got him delayed. He wants to work in your situation, but he can't as long as you're mad at him. You know what Jesus said, told John the Baptist's disciples to go back and tell him in Matthew 11? He said, you go and tell John that blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. That word offended means annoyed or angry with. Jesus said, go back and tell John in the dungeon. I know he sent you to ask me if I'm really who I say I am. Said, I want you to go back and tell him he'll be all right as long as you don't get mad at me. He'll be all right as long as he's not offended in me. Now, I just want to say this right here. I want to say this right here. If your heart's pounding to do business with God, you don't have to wait till no music. You don't have to wait till no music. I'm telling you, we got a great big God. We got a great large God. He's big. He can do anything. There's nothing impossible with him. But I tell you, we bind him. We delay him when our hearts is angry toward him. Look. Bible said, verse 30, Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. Now there was several Jews which were with her in the house and comforted her. Look at this. When they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out. Boy, I'm glad she just wasn't a typical Baptist. I'm glad when she heard Jesus was calling her, she headed that direction. And they followed her, saying, she goeth into the grave to weep. But when Mary was come where Jesus was, boy, I love that. You see, for 4 days now, Mary has been getting up in the morning. And she's been going out that little sidewalk that goes out from her house. Y'all see that little walk that goes out from her house? You see it. And the sidewalk comes out to the street, and over here up yonder is the graveyard. Every morning, Mary has been getting up, and she's been going out, and she's been wallowing in her problem. She's been weeping over her problem all day. But this time, Jesus is over here. And instead of turning toward her problem, she goes out to the end of the little walk and turns toward Jesus. Hey, if you can ever turn toward Him, God can take you, can help Him, or you can move Him to where the problem is. And I see Mary as she goes, and she falls at Jesus' feet. And she's a-weeping. This is when Jesus wept. A lot of different ideas about why he was weeping. I just believe he was weeping because Mary had been mad at him. And now she's getting it right. She's weeping, he's weeping, and when Jesus gets to crying over your situation, things are about to happen. And he wept. And she said, Lord, if thou hadst been here, our brother had not died. She said the exact same thing that her sister said back in verse 21. Exact same thing. But see, Jesus couldn't answer. Couldn't respond to Martha the way he wanted to till Mary got right, because they was both needing the same thing. Boy, you need to get that. And when Mary got right, Martha got her wish granted too. See, you're angry with the Lord could be delaying somebody else enjoying the benefits of it. And now, Jesus never did have to ask questions to get answers. Man that knows everything does not have to ask questions. And anytime you find him asking a question, it's not for information, it's for inspiration. And Jesus said to Mary, where have you laid him? In other words, Mary, take me by the hand and show me why you've been mad at me. Take me over here and show me why you've been upset with me. That's what you'll have to do. He knows why, but he wants you to say, this is why, Lord. And I see now as they head toward the tomb, I'm not going to deal with the third point. I don't feel the need to. Jesus is delayed one more time, and the third delay was caused by the stone. They had to get the stone out of the way before he could get Lazarus up. And a lot of folk are stumbling blocks, and the stumbling block is keeping the dead from hearing the voice of God. And that stone over the door was keeping the dead from hearing the voice of God. But when they got the stone out of the way, Jesus said, Lazarus! But first, he got to praying. Father, I know that thou always hear me. But Lord, for thee's sake. After they got all of the obstacles, after he got over his delay, after Mary got over hers, and after they got the stone out of the way, it wasn't hard for Jesus to fix the problem. Lazarus, come forth! And there he was. Lazarus was 12 steps down in yonder. I've often heard how he hopped up out of there. He's bound with grave clothes because they had to cut him loose. And I like the word where it says, let him go. If you ever get up like he did, you'll be wanting to have a running fit too. And it's hard to run bound in grave clothes. And he said, unbind him, cut him loose, and let him go. But I believe at the power of the word, bam, there he was. Listen to me, ma'am. Maybe that daughter has broken your heart. I dealt with this a little last night. I don't know why I'm here two nights in a row. But maybe that situation has broken your heart. Maybe you don't understand your situation. Maybe you cannot figure out why it happened like it did. And because it did happen the way it did, you've pulled back now. The Lord, standing right here, waiting to move toward your condition, but He can't, because He will not work over anyone that's upset with Him. You don't have to tell anybody anything tonight. I just believe that there's some folk, you'd never tell it to your preacher, you'd never even mention it to your husband or your wife. You wouldn't tell it to your closest friend. You just being a little mad. Young lady, maybe that other girl got your boyfriend. Well, if she did, you better be glad of it. Because she would have gotten him anyway. We could catalog the rest of the night reasons why we could be upset. Maybe you don't even know it that you're angry with him. But you are. And he's wanting to help us. But we've got to get up and move toward Him. And then He moves toward the problem. Brother Kenneth, you come. I'm done. Let's stand, please.